So welcome. Today is our last webinar of Shemin's ACE RTO sessions. Shemin has lots and lots of varied experience in the learning and development industry. So we're lucky to have her with us today for an exploration of VET. So with that, I might hand it over to you, Shemin.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Georgia. Really appreciate it. As Georgia said, this is the fourth and final in a series of webinars that we've been running, and in this last one, we're talking about the topic of foundation skills. So just before we go too far into it, I just wanted to share the perspective that I'll be taking with this session today, essentially to tell you that I'm not a foundation skills specialist. I'm a VET person, and I happen to have started over the last few years using foundation skills more and more to really what it's done is improve student outcomes. So I'll be coming at this from me as a vocational trainer, and I'll be trying to share a little bit about some of the things that I've learned in the 8 years or so that I've been exploring language literacy, numeracy, and foundation skills a little bit more. Now, I have to admit that this whole journey towards foundation skills didn't become because I wanted to make the world a better place particularly. It began at first because I had to, because around that time, around 2010 or so, we got the announcement that the Certificate IV in Training and Assessment was going to have a language literacy numeracy unit added to it. And I thought, well, as someone who loves delivering that qualification, I realized it's time for me to get upskilled and to build a bit of street credibility in this as well. So I went out, I got my LLN unit, which was a great start, and then, of course, realized I had to go a lot further if I was actually going to have that street credibility to teach it. And I suppose along the way, I've learned a few things. What I started out assuming was something that really was a specialist domain. I assumed that, you know, people with language literacy, numeracy needs, we just sort of handed them to a specialist. I now know that I was wrong. I know foundation skills are for everybody, and that includes for all of our learners, and as well, it's for all of us. And we as vocational trainers can have a tremendous impact if we start focusing a lot more on foundation skills as well as the technical skill or the vocational skill that we're teaching. So I thought that's what I might do today is share some of the top ideas that I found I've been able to pick up from some of the very many generous and skillful people in the foundation skills space and what I've learned that has seemed to have made an impact in my own training. And I hope you get something from it as well. So what I thought we might have a look at today is three main things, a basic what, why, how sort of a theme. Looking first at what are foundation skills, just want to make sure we're all on the same page with what they are. Then I'll do a short thing, and this will be my mini info dump session. I hope you don't mind. I'll try to make it exciting. But the idea is to make it relevant and really hopefully if we don't know some of the stuff already to compel you to realizing that it's worth the effort to try to figure out how we can build foundation skills. So we'll look at why they're important. And that, David, is where I'll hope to give you that ammunition I was speaking about to help show people why we need to do this. And then really want to get to part three, which is so how might we do it? If you were a vocational trainer, what are some starting point strategies to really start embedding our foundation skill into our vocational training so that we end up having improved outcomes? Okay, so let's have a look at foundation skills and first of all, just what they are. If I were to offer a one-sentence summary of what they are, this is what a colleague and I have been explaining it as. We've been doing some presenting on this at a few conferences lately. So we just say that foundation skills are, in a sense, the skills needed just to do the job. So as an example, if the job is an aged care worker, just a couple of simple examples of some of the foundation skills that aged care worker needs to do the job could include things like the numeracy skills needed to calculate how often to give medication to different parents, patients, or the planning and organizing skills needed to organize their daily work schedule and make sure that they're able to get around to all patients within a reasonable time so that they can provide suitable care. Now that's a really simple example, but that's just to make the point of what we mean by foundation skills. They're the skills we need to do a job. And so if we think of ourselves as VET trainers, we're training people to do a job, and so we need to teach them the foundation skills they need to do that job, as well as what I would call the vocational skills, the technical skills, if you like. So when we talk about foundation skills, the skills needed to do the job, we tend to put them into two broad categories. And those of you who've been exploring this for a little while, you're aware of this. So, oh, look, the cross went over to a funny side. I always love what these webinar platforms do to our PowerPoints. So some of the foundation skills fall into the category of language literacy and numeracy, and we have a few skills that fall into that realm. And then we have a few other skills that fall into the category of core skills for work. Now, all of these are foundation skills. So there are sets of individual skills in each category. In fact, there are five. In Australia, we have five foundation skills, five core skills that fall under the LLN category, and we have 10 core skills that fall under the core skills for work category. So we will get to those shortly. But before we do, just looking at those two categories of LLN, language literacy, numeracy, and core skills for work, here's a question for you. In Australia, what two documents describe those core skills? So to give you, put it in the chat box, there are only two answers. So the first in, best dressed kind of thing with your responses. So we're looking at, there's one document that describes the language literacy numeracy skills that we vet people should know about. And there's one document that describes the core, well, those other core skills. What are those documents called? Okay, so Arthur, you're in, and many of you are in with the ACSF. That's correct. AQF, Q is such a hard word. AQF stands for qualifications. So the AQF is the Australian Qualifications Framework, and that describes the structure of the 10 qualifications, vocational qualifications that exist in VET. The 10 AQF levels have nothing whatsoever to do with the ACSF levels. So we have to think very separately and uniquely about the ACSF. Now, does anybody know what ACSF stands for? You're all doing a brilliant job there. And we've got CSFW, which is the other one. Well done. Is it Sadia or Sadia? You can laugh out loud to yourself at how I've mispronounced your name. I'm sorry if I have. Okay, so we've got the core skills framework, the Australian core skills framework. Well done. And so let me show you the names of the two documents. You're all over the Australian Core Skills Framework, which is great, and the Core Skills for Work Framework is the other document, which is great, because if you look back those couple of slides, you'll see that Core Skills for Work, that's actually the name of the framework as well. So we can go sort of straight to that. Okay, so let's go back to the slide we were just at, and here's something I figured out. They're both great. But like all of us in VET, you know, the unit we have to do for the TAE is address language literacy numeracy skills, which is what is listed in the ACSS. So we tend to get to know those. And the core skills for work framework doesn't get the airplay that I think they deserve. Hannah, you ask an excellent question. How do they differ? So let's get into that. Thanks. I'll pretend you prompted me. Okay. So both of these are books that describe performance. And both of these books describe performance in each core skill that's covered in that book at a number of different levels. So for example, you know the ACSF, the core skills framework. One of the core skills that's covered in that book is the skill of reading. And if you go to the chapter of reading, you get descriptions of performance. You get a description of, if somebody is reading, for example, at level one, it describes the kinds of text that somebody who has that level of reading ability can read, and it describes the specific reading skills that they have and can use. And then it has a section where they describe how somebody would read at level two and what kinds of things they could read and what reading skills they would typically possess and so on. So my question is, so core skills for work, very much the same. For the core skills that are covered in that book, it's the same thing. It's a description of what somebody can do if they're operating at a number of levels. My question is, and here we're going to show another slide where I'm going to ask you to answer, get in the chat box, is how many levels of skill are described in the ACSF and the core skills for work? If you picked up that book, how many levels would you see, either book? One, where we're talking about the different books, the ACSF, it has five levels in it, but it is true. When it came up with its second edition, which was back in 2012, the feedback was that some people were not able to demonstrate level one descriptor outcomes, and so they produced what they call, the writers of the ACSF, Philip McLean, who I think is just amazing, they produced what they call the pre-level one supplement, where they describe some of the stepping stones that people may be demonstrating as they work towards level one. So that's called pre-level one. Jill, I noticed you wrote plus to pre-level, and I don't know if that's something new that I didn't know about, but if there's more information there to share, I'd love it if you put that into the chat box. I'm aware of one pre-level one description for each core skill in the ACSF. The core skills for work is a lot the same. The only difference is that they describe their levels with descriptors and not with actual numbers. So their descriptors, for example, in the core skills for work and novice performer, pre-level A and B. Okay, so to look back at this then, a novice performer in the core skills for work framework is more or less on par with a level one performer in the ACSF, and the same for all the rest. So you can see these descriptions, I think, are really quite good at giving us some clarity about what the levels mean you can do. You know, a capable performer, same as level three, is kind of our middle ground, if you like. It's the person who can work at routine jobs and maybe some, you know, out of routine things, that they can do it fairly independently, and that they may need help for some sort of more sophisticated things. So that's our nice middle ground, and then we go up or down from there. So that's one way to answer that question we had about, you know, how do they work and what's the difference between them. I guess we're going to go into what are the skills exactly, but before we do, I guess I just want to think about why we as vet sector people might need to even look at this stuff. Because I know when I first looked at the ACSF, even though it had beautiful colors, and now, like, I'm just not giving mine away, it was scary, you know, the first time I looked at it, and especially when we have so many other things to look at, units of competency and then all the bureaucracy that goes with proving that we're doing our jobs well. You know, at first I must admit this was just another scary thing. But I've gotten to know both of these documents better, and I've gotten to know that we get to look at them more as a dictionary, meaning we dip into it to the section we need when it's useful. You know, I think I was feeling pressure to get to know and understand the whole thing up front, and that was really scary. But here are some of the benefits of taking some steps to get to know it. These books, first of all, give us a common foundation skill language. So as vet people, you know, especially if we are going to try and seek advice from other people, maybe some foundation skill specialist, what we don't want to do is sort of say to some, you know, to an expert, look, I got someone with an LLN need. Because that's just like, what is that? That's so vague, we have no idea. So if we can start being more fluent and literate with the language of the ACSF and the core skills for work, we can start being much more specific and explicit about what we're noticing with the students who may need some extra help and what exactly we might be able to do. These books also, with that, then help us to identify which aspects of foundation skills to focus on. So for those of you who had a look at the ACSF book, you know, it breaks each core skill down into a number of focus areas. And then you look at the different, for example, in writing, you've got focus areas that are everything from, do they even understand how to pitch the writing at the right register, you know, at the level of formality needed for the audience and to include, choose the right information for the audience. And then right down to the mechanical skills, do they know how to, you know, are they able to structure sentences and paragraphs and things like that. So all that specific information to me as a trainer gives me specific ideas of things I can focus on. So if I can realize a student is struggling with writing, I can come up with some specific things to maybe focus on with them to help them get a little bit better at it, rather than just be kind of say, oh, we'll just write better. You know, it gives me more specific things to teach. So it gives me some really good ideas. And in doing that, then it offers a way forward, especially if I can recognize that my student needs to be, say, at level four, and they're currently at level three. I can start to look at the descriptions of the differences between levels three and four and start to have a sense of what I should be trying to push them towards and support them to work towards. So it gives us great teaching ideas. If we see them as our friends, we can do that. And they do help you develop materials and tailor the teaching for that absolute reason. Thanks, Sadia, that's fantastic. So with the core skills for work, people ask what's the difference between them. So the similarities are they both have five levels of skills. They just name the levels differently, and they both describe performance of each skill at each level. The main difference is in how these descriptions are presented. In the ACSF, if you're familiar with that, if you could imagine you have a chapter, say, for reading, and you get everything you ever needed to know about level one reading, and then everything you ever needed to know about level two reading, and so on. So if I wanted to compare one aspect of reading at level one with that same aspect of reading at level two, I'd have to flip forward a few pages. Or I might go, there's an appendix which kind of puts that together for you nicely as well. in the core skills for work, what you see is all the levels for one aspect of each skill together side by side. So the core skills for work presents a lot of their information on landscape-oriented pages, and you see on the left side, this is what this aspect of the skill looks like when it's being performed at a novice level. This is what it looks like at advanced beginner level. That's one to the right, if you can imagine. Then in the middle column, you've got this is what it looks like if they're performing at capable performer level, and then at proficient, and then at expert. So you get a direct comparison in the core skills for work, where you can compare each aspect of each skill by level all on the one page. So essentially what they describe is the same. How they present it is a little bit different. I'm hoping that answers most people's questions, at least as a beginning point, and it gives you enough to go in there and start having a look, because the core skills for work has some good stuff in it. Okay, I said earlier that there are a total of 15 foundation skills, 5 of them from the ACSF and 10 of them from the core skills for work framework. So one is reading. Language is another one. That's not one foundation skill, though, because there's a lot in language. So think numeracy is one foundation. So think about the different ways we might express language or use language. Okay, writing is one. Speaking is one. Yes. Communication is one. Learning is one. Okay, good. Listening is one. Excellent. Writing, spelling. Yes, all of these things are foundation skills. So remember, in Australia, what they've done is organize foundation skills into the skill with some of the aspects of that skill. So for example, spelling falls under the category of writing. It's one aspect of the core skill of writing. Organization, oral communication, problem solving, access, organize, and presenting, learning, decision making, brilliant. And it's really nice to see a mix of LLN skills from the ACSF and core skills for work. Work in the digital world. Absolutely, Marianne, it's in there. Well done. Okay. Interpretation. Actually, that's a good one. Listening skills and how well you interpret. But also, there's some beautiful stuff on that in the core skills for work as well, Janie. Digital, making decisions, select. Okay, excellent. You're doing brilliantly. Let me show you the 15, and you're going to see just how well you did. So looking on the left side, you've got the book that I'm guessing most of you are quite familiar with, the ACSF, and there are 5 core skills listed in there. We've got reading, writing, oral communication, numeracy, and we've put learning so that it sits underneath the whole thing because it really does. That's the foundation of all foundation skills, if you like, is learning how to learn. In the core skills for work framework, we have the 10 core skills are organized into 3 categories or clusters. And those of you who work regularly with units of competency, if you have units where the writers of the units have tried to list what the core skills are that are needed, the foundation skills needed, you would probably see these headings: navigate the world of work, interact with others, and get the work done. Those aren't skills. And I know that a lot of the times, like anyone working with business services, BSB units or the TAE units certainly have them, and a few others as well. Anybody working with a unit where they have listed the foundation skills and you see those 3 categories, it's important to realize that there is not a skill of navigating the world of work, nor is there a skill of getting the work done. That's simply a descriptor for a category of skills. And I know a lot of vet people, that kind of does their head in because they didn't realize that. And when they just look at what is the core skill of getting the work done, exactly what is that? But in fact, that's just the heading for all these others. So let's have a quick look at some of these core skills for work framework skills. Under navigating is, first of all, the whole idea of managing career and work life. And that's a great one for people like my 18-year-old son. They are the 8 employability skills, Susanna. These core skills for work replaced the 8 employability skills. So there's a direct crossover between them. So well done and well spotted, you're quite right. So with coming back to under navigate the world of work, you know, managing career and work life, that's all about the skills people need to be able to, for example, recognize the skills they hold and be able to recognize jobs or industries where those skills might have a value. Being able to set goals and being able to sort of work towards those goals. That's what that first skill is about. working with roles, rights, and protocols is everything we're preparing people for in VET, because it's about saying, you know, when we're teaching you how to drive a forklift, or when we're teaching you horticulture, and you go to work in a nursery or wherever you might go to work with that, there will be policies and rights and protocols associated with your job there, and it's about them realizing that they need to learn how to recognize what those are and then do their job according to them. The skill of interacting with others is a terrific one, and it complements the skill of oral communication in the ACSF really nicely as well. So, except remembering we interact with others not only verbally, you know, we might do this in writing as well, and in fact we're doing that more and more in modern life. So this one gets into things like conflict management and the recognize and utilize diverse perspectives, and there's conflict management a bit in the identify and solve problems over on the right side as well. It's about diversity, it's about you know, perhaps foreign languages, it might be about different ways of doing things. So it really expands and gives a lot of richness to the basics, if you like, of oral communication. Oral communication is really listening and speaking. Get the work done. You know, this is what everybody needs and hopes is going to happen in the real world, that we get people who can plan and organize, who can make decisions. Anyone who's ever worked with an indecisive person knows that's crucial. So these might also be about teamwork and yes, absolutely, Asadia, well done. I really hope I'm saying your name properly. So these core skills for work are really important, and I think they deserve a lot of attention. And I think that they are part of, you know, when we say someone is competent, I think they are part of competence, so I do think it's in our remit. Okay, so that's a quick look at what foundation skills are. Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page, and I'm going to speak broadly about both LLN skills and core skills for work when I talk about foundation skills. Now I'm going to move on to the next topic, which is the one where I was going to cover it a bit quickly, but I think the point I want to make here is we really do need to put in the effort to try to cover foundation skills, and there's a few reasons why. So, first of all, the idea that foundation skills are embedded in everything we do. We cannot do a job without using foundation skills at some level. And that includes brain surgeons who need foundation skills to be able to solve problems when things don't go as planned in an operation. And they also need the ability to interact with others in such a way to make me feel better about the idea of what you might be doing to my brain if you're going to do surgery on me. And it goes right on down to my 18-year-old son who uses foundation skills probably at a lower level, you know, in his jobs at the moment. But they're embedded in everything, so they are important. The definition of competence, and I've got this definition from the Standards for Registered Training Organizations, also reminds us that when we say someone is competent, we're saying that they have given us evidence that they can consistently apply knowledge and skill, and here's the important part in terms of foundation skills, I think, to the standard of performance required in the workplace. You know, now that part is really critical, because when we say someone's competent, somebody who hires that person does have a right to expect that that person isn't going to walk in and say, well, where's the template? When I did this at, you know, at this other RTO, they just gave me a template to fill in. Where is it? And like, we really have to make sure that our assessment of people is realistic enough that we're seeing their ability to work to the standard of performance required in the workplace, and that our assessment is extending to all aspects of foundation skills. So it's things like when they showed up for their practical session, their assessment in the kitchen, did they show up early enough to be ready on time to start producing whatever it is they're going to produce? Do I assess them making multiple sandwiches instead of just making one sandwich so that I can make sure that they've got a consistent product? Because you know you're going to get fired if you don't make a consistent product. You know, do your assessments challenge people to show the standard of performance that would be required in the workplace? And if they do, you're covering the foundation skills. Another reason why they're important is because we know that employers really want this stuff. They obviously want the technical skills, but even more so, we've got a lot of research that's telling us that they're valuing even more the non-technical skills, what we used to call employability skills. The Foundation for Young Australians calls them enterprise skills, or soft skills, they've often been called as well. Those are the skills that if they had to choose, they want those skills more than the technical skills. If you can learn, you know, you've got all those soft skills, we can teach you how to do the job. And the thing we need to remember is that we need foundation skills to do both. And all this falls within the definition of competence. So I think, again, that really justifies why they're important for us. Finally, employers need this. This is part of the definition for competent, but we're not there yet. So this is the latest research out of the Australian Industry Group, and this only came out about a month ago. They do this survey. It's a workforce development needs survey report. They do it every couple of years or so. The last one was in 2016. The one that came out last month has revealed that 99% of the employers they surveyed say that low levels of literacy and numeracy are having a negative impact. That's staggering, and that's an increase from the 89% that was in the last survey, and I think it was about 93% in the one in 2012. So we've gone shooting way up. We're not, you know, we need to do more. The most significant issues were around poor document completion, so writing, perhaps reading skills to understand what needs to be done as well, teamwork, low confidence or willingness to take on new work, so the initiative thing, time wasting, material wasting and errors, and practices that essentially were potentially very unsafe due to, directly to, they said, literacy or numeracy issues. So to sum up, foundation skills are important because they underpin everything. They're in everything we do. We need them to be competent, and employers need them to do the job. And what we know is that on average, Australian adults can do better. Not all. Many of us are fine, but you know, we could do better. And I think we have a part to play in helping them do better. I hope, David, that gives you a little bit of why we need to look at it so quickly. What I really want to do now is focus in on how. So what I'm going to offer, if I have limited time in 20 minutes, is four suggestions for how a vocational trainer can really embed foundation skills into their vocational practice and in so doing, improve student outcomes. So the first is take a reality check. The second is use strategies that both upskill and support. I'll explain these shortly. The third is teach foundation skills in context. So don't keep it separate. And when you're doing that, expose them and explain them. So we have some activities around that. We'll see how we go for time. And finally, a really tried and true strategy that's working more and more, not just in foundation skills, but with any skills, is the whole pattern of practice. Give them time to reflect. Give targeted feedback on performance. And of course, here we're talking about foundation skills performance. So let's look at these in a little bit more detail. First of all, taking a reality check is really just about asking yourself what is realistically possible. So a few questions we might ask include, well, which are the most important skills? You know, what and who is available to help me? How can we help learners? And also, how can we help learners help themselves? Because we're not always going to be around. With all of this, the big thing I'd like you to take away is that we know, again, from research that doing something will make a difference. So I've worked a lot with, for example, rural fire service trainers who have a lot of their volunteers come in, and these volunteers often don't even have the reading skills to be able to read and understand a text on their phone that says, there's a fire at this address, go there now. And they're saying, well, we've only got 4 hours with them when I'm supposed to be teaching them how to use the hose, so how can I teach them to read in that time? And they're probably right. You can't teach them to read, but you can teach them some strategies to help them make sense of some of these things for this context. And what we've learned from some longitudinal studies that have been conducted, and anyone's interested, I can tell you about them later, is that people who pick up a little bit of a tip here and then a month later or a week later, you know, some more ideas and get another few tips and practice some more with someone else later on, over time, their literacy does improve. And so we know this, and I think what we need to do is make sure that we keep that in mind when we think, well, I've only got a four-hour workshop with these people, what can I do? You can do something and it will make a difference. But you have to be real about what's possible. So a few things to consider. With that thing of what's important, I'm just going to roll through these quickly, but you're going to see that you'll get these later. So a few things to consider here would be which foundation skills are the most important for the work skill that you're teaching. And think about then how you might be able to introduce and practice them in your VET program. Really think too about what level they have to perform. So it's not enough just to say, well, I covered a reading activity here. If you didn't cover the reading activity to, you know, that was typical of what they'd have to read on the job, you haven't covered it. So you've really got to think also not only which skill, but what level. Also, trouble spots. You know, what do they typically struggle with? Maybe that will help me make my decisions about what's most important. So these are just questions to prompt your thinking to help you recognize if you had limited time, what should you be focusing that time on? In terms of what and who is available, you know, you might consider the training approach. If it's face-to-face, you're going to have many more opportunities to work with people than you will if it's online learning. The timetable, if it's like a boot camp where there's hardly any time between sessions, you're going to have less opportunity than if you have spread out training. So look at what's realistic, look at what you have available to you, what resources are available, what people are available, and think about how you can make the best use of those. Think about what you can do to help learners. So again, what time do you have available to provide support? And also think about instructional strategies as well as assessment support strategies that you might be able to give. And we're going to share a few of these as to finish off. And finally, how can you help learners to help themselves? That's a big one because we're not there for it. And what can you do to get them connected is your biggest question. I've had great success with WhatsApp groups, which I didn't know existed until a student suggested it when I said, you need to stay in touch between sessions. How are you going to do that? I had one student who said, let's do that. I did what every good trainer would do at that point who has no idea what they're talking about. I put her in charge. And she set up everybody, and it worked a treat. And I found that, you know, I could be sitting watching TV on a Saturday night, and a student would post in the WhatsApp group and say, hey, I'm not sure about this. Does anybody remember what they told us to do? And invariably, somebody would answer the question. And even if they were wrong, if I did nothing, somebody else would always come along and correct them later. And it might not have been immediate, sometimes it was, but they always worked it out. And then all I would need to do is go in at the end of all of that and say, well done, everybody, you worked it out in the end. Yep, this is what you have to do. So you help them learn to help each other, and connecting each other, I think, is a really important part of that. And consider how you can help them learn how to learn. We can look at some strategies there, too. Oh, it's all just time, isn't it? So all of those are questions to consider, just to think about taking a reality check. So do what's possible and forgive yourself if you're not going to save the world in a day. That's our first tip. Second tip. And we have some activities coming up with this one, is use a combination of instructional strategies that both upskill learners, in other words, help them get better at certain foundation skills, as well as support their efforts. So let's look and see what we mean by those, and then I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. So strategies that explicitly build core skills are what we would broadly call upskilling strategies. So for example, if trying to build reading skills, you might teach them some ways to decode words. Some strategies like, teach them about prefixes and suffixes and the meaning of some common ones perhaps, or teach them about how to read a word in the context of a sentence to see if they can work out what it means from there. Those are all strategies to help them decode things. Numeracy, you know, teach how to do the maths that are inherent in the work activity and explicitly teach that. Learning skills, teach them how to study. Don't just assume when you tell somebody to go home and study for something that they'll have any idea what that means. You know, studying, that's difficult. You know, that might involve reading some information from a text. That's step one. Then processing it and making sense of it. That's step two. Then perhaps preparing study notes by finding a way to making decisions about which of that information might be critical to help remember the skill and learn it, or the knowledge. And then how do you represent that in writing in the form of, you know, studying is complex. So we can't just assume they know what to do. So those are just some simple examples of upskilling strategies. Then we also need to include strategies that support their efforts. So that's things like making ourselves available, maybe having a workplace buddy who might support them, maybe some practice resources, that sort of thing. What I found when I did my TAE LLN unit was that all the suggestions I had, and I was found competent for them, all fell into the category of support. I had these foundation skill strategists who said, yes, but what are you doing to actually help them get better? And I found that challenging at first. So I hope you really think about what are you doing and is it building skills as well as supporting their efforts. Okay, your turn. I'd like you to get the text box out or a draw tool. And what you've got here is an instructional strategy. My question is, would you put this in the upskill category or the support category? So the strategy we're talking about is if you explain to them where to go to access the meaning of a word, would that help them upskill in their ability to work things out? Or would that be something that's more just you're supportive of their efforts? But with this here, you're helping them learn where to go to access the meaning of words and hopefully a dictionary or something. And so you're actually helping them build skills there as well. So whilst it is both, I'd say you can say that's an upskilling strategy as well as support. All right, how about this one? You invite learners to come and see you if they have any problems. What's that? Yeah, and that's pretty much it, right? So this is mostly support. It's not going to upskill specific things. It's what you do with them when they come and see you that might upskill them. But you can see how, nonetheless, it's really important. Last one. Would this instructional strategy upskill or support? Demonstrating written language required for the purpose. So imagine that they have to write something and you're demonstrating to them the type of language that's required. What is that? Right into say support, but you're also right, it does upskill, right? You're showing them the written language, you might be explaining what it is, you might be explaining why, you might be explaining why a certain level of formality might be needed. Nice job. Okay, so that's that second idea. Simply make sure that your strategies, you're really consciously using skills that are going to help them get better, not just be supportive, but being supportive is important. Okay, let's go to number three now, which is all about teaching foundation skills in context. And this is the one where we talk about, you know, do we just send them away to do foundation skills training and then they come back when they're ready? And what we know is that generally speaking, they will learn much better if they don't realize they're in writing class. But if we're just saying, okay, for you to be able to do your job in a cafe, you're going to need to be able to write down the orders. So we're going to do some practice of taking orders and writing them down so that the cook knows what to cook. So they shouldn't feel like they're in writing class or math class. They should feel like they're in class to learn how to do a job. So the first thing we need to do is think about that context. So looking at this example, we've got a numeracy context here, but also reading and understanding the language of numeracy, which is really important. So imagine you've got a healthcare worker here, or it could be a first aid worker, or anyone where they might need to take vital signs. You know, you would need to... With something like this, you can see there's a lot of math in here, there's a lot of interpretation, which is a form of reading, but they shouldn't feel like they're in reading class, they should feel like they're learning how to take vital signs. So that's what we mean by in context. So the first thing we need to do to be able to do that is to expose and get and identify what the foundation skills for that context are. So here's an example, which we call the inquiry-based approach. This is the first thing, which is just you ask yourself, what foundation skills might this person need? So I'm going to ask you, can you name one or two foundation skills they might need to do their job? The example I've got is communication skills. Let's do a minute or so with those. I'm mindful of time. What else do you see? What else would this nurse need to be able to do? What skills does she need to do this job? Think of your 15 foundation skills we looked at. Numeracy skills, yes, communication. Now here's the trick, and I won't get you to rewrite it. What you want to be able to do is not only say they need communication skills, but for that to be useful to us, because you're all correct, I'm loving what you're writing here, thank you. For that to be useful to us, we need to know what for. So they need numeracy skills to be able to do what? They need communication skills to be able to do what? They need reading skills to be able to do what? That's how we as vet trainers can get better at working out what to teach them and exposing those skills so we can teach them. Okay? Attention to detail, critical thinking, medication amounts, great. To respond to patient needs, to interpersonal abilities, to offer great customer service, absolutely. Now we're talking. See, now we've got some ideas for what we can teach in our vocational courses. Okay? To communicate with a doctor and a patient, yes, brilliant. So let me show you a few everyday life, yes. So imagine this job. Here's a few we prepared earlier. This nurse might need communication skills to build rapport, to use active listening, to collaborate and cooperate with doctors and patients alike. She might need numeracy skills to calculate medication frequency and dosages, to monitor data, to measure vital signs using biomedical equipment, and to identify when there's a problem. That's kind of important. Might need reading skills to be able to interpret policies, procedures, and also nursing care plans. So, for example, notes that other nurses are going to pass on about a patient when they come on shift. What does the interpretation skill focus on context? They'll need writing skills to be able to record accurately things like client details. Recording vital signs is critical. And remember, what we're noticing, the employers are reporting that writing things is the biggest issue right now. internal correspondence, handover notes for the next nurse on shift, that sort of thing, planning and organizing skills, biomedical tools, all the digital literacy they need to use workplace systems and possibly record all this information using those systems, problem solving, time management. So you can see there's a lot there, and we just need to think about those skills that sit underneath the vocational skill, because sometimes we're going to have to pull those out and teach them in the context of the vocation, of the job. Now option two, so that was one way to expose foundation skills, is just sit down and ask yourself, maybe ask other people, called an inquiry-based approach. Some of us get units of competency, and some of you might be familiar, Elaine, you might be familiar with this if you're just in the middle of the LLN unit, where you're asked to analyze, what I've got here is one element from a unit of organizing complete daily work activities, and the performance criteria with that element. So you might have been asked to do things like this. You're exposing the foundation skills by looking and seeing what this person has to do according to the unit and figure out where there is a foundation skill demand of some kind. Just give a yes if you've gone through an activity like this before, or a no if you have not. Yeah, millions of us. Okay, so that's another way that we can expose the foundation skills, and you might end up with something that looks like this. Okay. So I won't go into details, but I guess you can see there's a lot of foundation skills hidden in those units. Though the interpretation, there are indirect factors under the surface that may not be easily accessible. Yes, and the cultural factors that you bring up, Hannah, is where the context is so important. And that's why we got to think, what are the workplace expectations? In other words, what are the real world expectations? You know, if we're going to communicate effectively, in what culture will this group of people be doing it versus in, you know, or context versus that other group of people? Because that's what we have to teach as well. You're right. Okay, so those are two examples of how you can find out what the foundation skills you might need to teach are. Ask yourself or analyze a benchmark like a unit. Once you've exposed these things, now you've got to teach them and explain them. So if we come back to our numeracy or our example of vital signs, you might need to explain the numerical language. And if any of you know a man named David Tout, I'll actually type him. He works for Acer, and he's a numeracy, oh, he's just wonderful. He's an absolute numeracy expert. And he really emphasizes the need for the language of numeracy to be brought to the forefront as well. You know, there's a lot of language in there that I need to know the meaning of before I can even begin to interpret this. We also might need to teach how to measure time. I don't know if any of you are, but I've been working with people, some of the younger people we have, they can't tell 24-hour time or analog time. We can't use language like quarter past two anymore. Now, in this case, it's digital time. So you might need to prompt them with things like, what does the fact there's no AM or PM after the 11:30 mean? You know, excuse me, what time of day is it? You might then need to teach them how to make sense of reading. So it's one thing to say, it's, you know, I can't even read it there, it's 49, but what does that mean? You know, what, it's 49 what? And also thinking about how does that compare with what's normal? Like, what am I supposed to read into this? So you know, that's something that we might need to teach as well. Are there any generic resources to assess these core skills for it? No. My issue, Elaine, is that they used to have the Foundation Skills Assessment Tool, FSAT, that was going to be free until the government decided to pull the plug. And it's actually ready to go, and it's the only really good assessment tool that was developed, and it's been validated out the back door. It was like 4 or 5 years in development. And the government took it over and then decided they didn't want to fund it anymore, but it's the only tool that assesses the core skills for work as well as the 5 ACSF skills, that, and it was going to be free. So we can talk after the webinar because I'm really mindful of time and I need to move on, but that's the only one I'm aware of. Okay, finally, practice, reflect, and give feedback. So I'll very quickly just finish off with the example that we prepared. The reason, this slide is to show us that there is a lot of research that tells us this works. The combination in particular of reflection, getting them to think about what they've done and how well they've done, and you giving them very specific feedback will lead to much better retention. Repeated retrieval simply means I have to do it over and over. So here's an example. This is actually putting together our other tips too. So exposing and explaining, then practice and reflect, then targeted, and this will be our last slide of activities before we close up. So imagine the vocational skill is customer service and it's maybe a difficult situation. So you're going to get participants into group discussions about how they might deal, different ways they might deal with the difficult customer situation. And in terms of foundation skills, you're going to be focusing on how they have that conversation and maybe some numeracy. So here's how you might expose and explain that. You might say, as I discuss, I will look for you taking turns, sharing ideas, one person at a time. So what you're doing when you do that is teaching how to hold an oral, how to hold a discussion. That's oral communication. You might also need to teach other things like how to plan for their time so everybody gets the same amount of time and you don't run out of time. You might need to teach them active listening and so on. Then you let them get into the discussion, so they practice, they have their discussions, and you pay attention to how they do. And at the end of it, you might ask them questions to prompt their reflection. So you might say something like, was everyone able to share ideas without interruption? Did everyone have time in your group to share ideas? If so, what worked? What would you do again? If no, what might work next time? And then finally, you might give them some feedback as well. I liked how and you point out specific things that they did within their discussions that you would encourage them to do again if holding a discussion again. So a very simple example, but you can see what I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that building foundation skills into our VET courses doesn't always have to take more time. It does, however, take a much sharper focus and a much bigger sense of clarity about what you're trying to achieve with each activity. But on the surface, this is simply a group discussion about how you might manage difficult customers. And we can use it as an opportunity to build oral communication, negotiation, turn-taking skills, and so on. So I guess those are the main sort of things that I would like to share with all of you today. Just to have a look back at this and just to recap our top four and then just finish up. So our top four tips, take a reality check, use some strategies to upskill and support. Teach the foundation skills in context. They should feel like they're learning vocational stuff. And use the routine of practicing. Make them do it often. Give them a chance to think about what they're learning, what they're doing, what they could do better, and then you give them that feedback. And mix up your feedback on, tell them how they're doing vocationally with the vocational skill, but include how they're doing in terms of the foundation skill as well. Doesn't have to take more time, just a sharper focus. Okay, I'm mindful we're 3 minutes over, so I'll just summarize. Hopefully you've gotten something from this very quick trip through what foundation skills are as a reminder, why they're so important, and a few strategies to help you consider how you can build foundation skills into your vocational courses. Any more questions, anything else like that, consider what you might take away from this, and I'd love to continue the discussion anytime you like. My details are here, and you'll be getting this slide as well, so you can keep them once you receive the slide deck, and I'd love to continue the conversation.